2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Yet people get up and say, when I was 20 years old, I was an alcoholic, a drug addict. Whatever mistake, they'll talk about it. God says he doesn't remember those mistakes. Number one, why do I remember what God says he forgets? Is God wrong or am I? Because we're not agreed if that is the case. God doesn't remember my sins. There's a reason for that. Yes, we're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the mechanism. But that's not the full picture. That's the mechanism. Now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New is the word kainos. Most people don't understand kainos. Kainos means newly made. And I've heard actually from people that I respect arguments against this, but if you study the original language, the argument doesn't hold up. This is what it means. Brand new. Newly made. People will say, well, not temporally new, just in quality new. That's not what it says. It says brand new, newly made. That's the meaning of kainos. Brand new. Never been around before. Newly made. Believers think that they get saved. They get into a church. They hear the word of God. God cleans them up. And they are now like new. And they will say, I'm like new. My life is new. I was like this. Now I'm new. I'm not like that anymore. Wrong. That's not what it says. What it says is newly made. Like new, all cleaned up, fixed up, made pretty again, is refurbished. It does not say if any man be in Christ, he is refurbished. Amazon refurbishes things. God does not. They think they're refurbished. They don't believe they're new. New in quality is refurbished. No, you're actually new. But the reason why people don't recognize what it means is because they don't understand the nature of eternity. And if you don't understand the nature of eternity, you will not understand 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then you'll say things like, well, new in quality. That's not what it says. He's a new creature. The word there is species. He's a new species. What is that species? That species is something that has never been seen before in Ephesians 2:15, the God-man species, where we become one with Christ. We are actually one person with Christ. That almost seems sacrilege. Because we have this strange separation notion. God is over there, I am over here. Christ is on the throne, he died on the earth, yes. He was buried, my sins are on. How in the world is he going to take my sins on him? How in the world am I going to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? I have never seen Christ. I've never met him face to face. I've heard his voice. But I've never seen him. I've never talked to him in the sense that his 12 did. I never shook hands with him. I never sat down at the dinner table with him. And yet, I'm supposed to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It's not a theological reality. It's a practical one. Christianity is not about theology. Please understand that. Christianity is not about theology. Christianity is about reality. Theology, you could almost think of as the philosophy of God. People read the Bible and say, well, this is the theology of... And I'm not saying it's without value. It's of great value. But it's an incomplete story. It's part, an important part, of a greater story. It is reality. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, now I'm a new creature. How did I become a new creature? At the cross, I became one person with Christ. That's why I'm cleansed by the blood. Okay, it's not some theological, metaphysical thing that I kind of do a mental gymnastic tumbling thing to figure out and somehow it works. No, it's quite practical. When I became one person with Christ, I was able to be cleansed by His blood. Because I was one person at the cross with Him. Okay, we became one new man in Ephesians 2:15. It took place at the cross in verse 16. That means that union took place prior to the death. That union is what we were created for. It took place prior to the death. So, when in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says new creature, it's talking about the God-man. Where we're the body of Christ, He is the head, we are the body. You cannot say that my hand and I are separate. This is one body. The head is included with the hand in the body. Christ is included as the head in the body. That's why He's the firstborn among many brethren. It's simply saying He is the premier within the body. And so, being premier in the body, He's the brains of the operation. But it's still the same body. My brain, without my arm, will be limited in its function. It'll be able to think, it'll be able to do many things. But it won't be able to get its way without my arm being present. Likewise with God. Then it continues. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. Those words are properly interpreted. All things means all things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That word become is key. In the second half of that verse, the word new is not the key. It's the word become. Become means arising in history. So all things are newly arisen in history. God created something new in history. This is beyond our comprehension if we're thinking in a linear fashion. How does God go back in history and create something new? And we revert back to one of those metaphysical things. It's not metaphysical. Nor does it claim to be. This is where people don't understand the nature of eternity. This is the brilliance of Albert Einstein, actually. Albert Einstein says, I want to know the mind of God. Everything else is just the details. I personally believe he's at least secret believer. Now, they say he was a deist, but some of the things he said don't sound like a deist to me. Some of the things he said sound like a Jewish guy who really wants to know God, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was saved. I don't know. I can't say with certainty. But I suspect that he was. Now, here's the thing about relativity. Relativity teaches us the nature of time. That's what relativity is about, the nature of time. Now, I'm not going to get into it now because the explanation would be too long. The bottom line of it is, 2 Peter 3:8 gives us the relationship in time terms of us to God. It says, with God, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. In order to define time, you need two frames of reference. You need something stationary and something in motion. Then you also have an issue of two time periods. What 2 Peter 3:8 gives us is the two time periods, and it allows us to figure something out about God. It also defines God's omnipresence. People don't recognize that because they don't get relativity. It says that the time passage for a stationary observer is equal to the time passage of the observer in motion divided by the quantity, the square root of 1 minus v squared, which is velocity, over c squared, which is the speed of light. That sounds complicated. It's actually pretty simple. It just sounds complicated. Break it down and you find that if you have two brothers, and this is called the twin paradox, it's a famous illustration of this. If you have two brothers, let's say they're both 30 years old, and one goes to the tarmac at Cape Kennedy, and the other gets on the space shuttle. And say that one goes into space traveling at 90% the speed of light. They both have a clock and a calendar, and they're both precisely synchronized, so they're exactly the same time. And they're both looking at their clock, and they're both looking at their calendar. As the one guy goes out into space for 1 year, he comes back after traveling 90% the speed of light. The guy on the Earth will have experienced 1.7 years. So if they're twin brothers, both exactly 30 years old, when the one comes back, he'll be exactly 31, but the other one will be 31.7 years old. Go out at 95% the speed of light, the one comes back at 31, but the brother on the ground will be 32.3 years old. 99% the speed of light, the brother on the ground is going to be 37.1 years old. 99.9% the speed of light, when the one comes back at 31, his brother will be 52.3 years old. At 100% the speed of light, he'll come back at 31. The other one will have experienced the passage of eternity before his brother returns. In other words, he'll never see his brother. He'll be in eternity. Alright, this is real. This is real. This has been measured. It's real. And NASA works with it. If you don't adjust for this characteristic, then your GPS will not work. Another thing out of the general theory of relativity is that gravity slows down time. So the farther you are from a source of gravity, time accelerates. If you get very close to a source of very strong gravity, time slows down profoundly. If you get into something as strong as a black hole, time stops altogether. You have a satellite that's experiencing the quicker passage of time than your GPS device. If you do not account for that, then your GPS doesn't work. Now, every time that NASA sends out a probe somewhere, they have to account for that or they can't communicate with their probe. So this is a very real thing. The speed thing is a very real thing. It's been tested. The faster you move, the slower time goes. Okay, at the speed of light, you experience eternity. Now, here's the thing. What Einstein found is that there is no difference between time and space. That's why it's called space-time. People call it a space-time continuum. It's not a continuum. It's a variability. Time is the universal variable, not the universal constant. And so anywhere that I go in space is at a different time. All points of time are contained in the universe because time is a part of the physical universe. It's like this table. God created a table, and you could say that this end of the table is the past, that end of the table is the future, and the whole thing is all of time put together. The room is eternity. Time was created within eternity. Now, all events that ever take place are on the table. So this is one event, this is another event, that's another event, that's another event, and so forth. Let's say that this is failure. That does not disappear by itself. It's going to be there forever. You could go back to it if you could get into a different place in the universe. People say, can you travel in time? Yes and no. Yes, you could, but you'd have to change places. So people think, can I travel back to 10 years ago and whatever? No, you can't. Because if you travel back in time, you cannot stay where you are. Then it won't work. You have to change places in order to change time. So if you could travel somewhere else, then you could feasibly come back to 10 years ago. But you'd have to go somewhere else first. In other words, if you want to go back on the table, you have to get off the table. Because you can't just go backwards. It's like a river that won't let you go upstream. It keeps going in the one direction. You get out of the river, you can walk along the banks of the river to an earlier part of the river. Then you could travel back in time. Now here's the catch. You can't get out of there. We don't have the ability to get off the table. How does God do it? Behold, all things are made new. New things rise in history. Let's say that we're over here at this point, halfway up the table, and a failure has taken place at this point, at the start of the table. God has the ability to get off the table because He's in eternity. He's not actually on the table. He's looking at the table. And though He can put things in, touch it, do whatever He needs to, He's not there. He's outside the table. He's outside of time. He's in eternity. So it's absolutely nothing for God to simply take something off the table. That's what His blood does. This point of failure, for example, God applies the blood, cleanses it, and it's all gone. Now here's the thing. You cannot say at this point, well, it used to be there. That's a time reference. The table is time. So you can't say it used to be there. Because nowhere in time is it present. See what I'm saying? Nowhere in time is it present. That's why God can never judge us on failure. Nowhere in time is our failure present. It's been removed by the blood from time. Because if God cannot remember it, it is not. Because He knows all things. Now, if God didn't know all things, okay, then maybe this wouldn't hold up. But God knows all things. And so if He doesn't know something, that means that that thing is not. So if God forgets our sins, it's not just a matter of, yeah, I don't remember that happening. It's a matter of, it didn't happen. And people say, well, you're denying things. No, it's not denying at all. It's understanding the nature of eternity. I don't deny that we're sinners. I deny that we possess sin. Because whosoever is born of God sins not. Well, how am I going to be born of God as a sinner and yet sin not? Very simple. God takes it off the table. And the table is time, so you can never point to a time where a believer has actually sinned. Because God removed it from the existence in time. It's not in time, much less in eternity. It's simply gone. When He cleanses us from all sins, it's like this. You have a dish detergent. And you apply the dish detergent to your dishes. And it takes away 75% of whatever residue is left on the dishes, but it leaves a little bit. You're going to say, this is a lousy dish detergent. It doesn't work. What people are inadvertently saying is the blood of Christ doesn't work. I remember. You have a false memory. You have to cast down the imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of Christ, and you have to bring every thought into captivity, into obedience, and revenge all disobedience with obedience. It's a mental issue. But we are so trained to think in the temporal sense of linear time that we cannot grasp eternal truths. And if you teach it, people will say, it's not right. Oh, it is right. Look at it in your Bible. Don't add to what it says. And don't take away from what it says. It says, a new thing arises in history. A new thing arises in history. It's not qualitatively new. It's just new. But because people can't grasp that God could actually remove something from history, change time, then they have a problem with really understanding the finished work in its fullness. Because if God simply forgot about it, then that actually wouldn't be holiness. But God is holy. So it's necessarily removed in order for us to have acceptance with Him. Because He is holy. There was a physicist, he died not that long ago, named John Wheeler. He was a student of Oppenheimer. Brilliant physicist. He was at Princeton and at the University of Texas. He was very offbeat, but he had a good handle on relativity. And he floored everybody with some of his proclamations regarding relativity. The problem is that he was probably right, and at least a lot of them. I don't know about all of them. And one of the things John Wheeler said is that you can actually change the past from the present. And that seems very difficult for people to grasp because they have a linear concept of time. Time is not like a line. Time is like a loaf of bread. And so if you cut perpendicular, you end up at one time. But if you cut at an angle, because all of a sudden one side of your blade moves, you cut through time. And so you get it in an angle, and now you incorporate many times. The same now is different times. That's the thing. That's what's hard for people to grasp. We understand the concept of right now in the universe. Okay, and people picture, well, there's a galaxy there right now, and there's a galaxy there right now, and there's a galaxy there right now, and there's a galaxy there right now. Yes, there's a galaxy there right now, but the age of that galaxy and the time that is experiencing is different than the age and the time here. That's where people have problems. If you can't grasp that, then the finished work will escape you. Why? Because the fullness of it has to do with existence. What is? That's the thing. A new thing arose in history. If you think about that and your thinking is linear, that is going to be very hard to wrap your mind around. A new thing arose in history. We have the concept of the eternal is, which is a correct concept, but we don't understand that eternal is incorporates past and future. We say past just went by, and yeah, it did just go by. Future isn't here yet. Yes, that's true here on Earth. In one, what scientists call inertial or motion frame of reference. Get off the Earth and you're at a different time. The moon is at a different time than the Earth. By the way, your head is older than your feet. It is. With the small distance difference, it's barely measurable. But nevertheless, it is. Your head is older than your feet. You start thinking like this, you're not changing doctrine. What you're doing is you're starting to appreciate the scope of doctrine. That it really is all-encompassing. The doctrine is correct all the time, everywhere, for everything. It's the mind of God. Other questions?